despite the fact that naturally there are many different points of views and opinions within the Iranian nation. Such kindness and respect will dash enemy hopes of sowing division and discord. Turning to the new tactics of imperialists and colonialists, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei pointedly said, "The military option did not make much headway in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Americans experienced defeat in both of those countries. This is why they have adopted new tactics now. Their stratagem now relies on lies and deceit, media campaigns and media wars and propaganda, belittling independent nations, promoting pessimism and cynicism, dividing nations and pitting people against one another. This is their tactic now. But the Iranian nation is vigilant and aware. We have defeated the enemy up to today, and with God's grace, we shall defeat the enemy tomorrow as well." The leader also met with senior Iranian officials and ambassadors of Islamic countries at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniyeh in Tehran after the Eid al-Fitr prayers. The leader said, "I would like to congratulate the Islamic Ummah, the Iranian people, the heads of the three branches of the Iranian government, and the ambassadors and representatives of Islamic countries on the auspicious occasion of the Eid al-Fitr." Ayatollah Khamenei added, "The month of Ramadan provides the environment for hearts to become closer to each other. All of the various dimensions of the month of Ramadan help to bring the hearts of people closer to one another, both within the country and within the entire Islamic Ummah. First of all, the tenderness that is created in people by their fasting, prayers and supplications, and recitation of the Holy Quran is itself a source for bringing hearts closer together. And piety brings hearts closer, just as President pointed out in his statements." The leader said, "Our problem today is division, even though the Holy Quran prohibits division. The Holy Quran says, 'Do not be like those who become divided into sects and differed.' And it commands us to be united. Hold fast altogether to Allah's cord, and do not be divided into sects." The leader added, "Unfortunately, members of the Islamic Ummah are divided. Yes, there are different opinions, there are different sects, and there are different tastes. That's fine. But these differences must not mean that we should be deprived of the great blessing of the Islamic nation being united. If the Islamic Ummah, which consists of about 2 billion people, who are scattered in the most important sensitive geographical areas of the world, if they are united today, Islamic countries would receive more blessings, far more blessings. If this unity is established to any extent, the solution to the problems of the Islamic world will become apparent. The first steps will become apparent, and it will be possible for us to solve the problems of the Islamic world." Further remarks, the leader turned to the issue of Palestine, one of the most fundamental issues facing the Islamic world today. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "Praise God, today we are witnessing the gradual decline of the usurper Zionist regime of Israel. Everyone in the world is seeing this. The usurper Zionist regime is gradually declining, and the rate of its decline is accelerating in recent years. This decline started some years ago, but the rate of decline has accelerated recently, and this is a big opportunity for the Islamic Ummah. The Palestinian issue is not just an Islamic issue, it is a humanitarian issue. If anyone in the world regardless of whether they are Muslim or not, knows the reality of the events in Palestine that will confront the usurper Zionist regime. Some of the crimes committed by this usurper regime and some of the catastrophes that have created have become apparent to world public opinion this year. You saw how the people's gatherings and rallies and marches on International Quds Day were no longer limited to the Islamic world. Many people outside of the Islamic world, in Europe and in the United States itself, also took part in rallies and marches in support of the Palestinians on the last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan, the International Quds Day. This is how it is. The Palestinian issue is a humanitarian issue. But why has it become like this? It's because the Palestinian people's resistance. The internal resistance of the Palestinians is the main reason for their progress. The more this resistance increases, the weaker the Zionist regime becomes, and the more its disastrous situation can be seen. The desperate situation that the Zionist regime is in today, the Zionist regime's current situation is truly deplorable, is due to the steadfastness of young Palestinians. Young Palestinians are accepting the hardships and the dangers. In the occupied city of Al-Quds, we see a large gathering of people taking part in spiritual retreats. The young people in different cities of the occupied West Bank stand in front of the armed, vicious Zionist soldiers. They make sacrifices and they move forward. They have moved forward up until now, and God willing, they will continue to do so in the future. Elsewhere in his remarks, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "I believe the Zionist regime's power of deterrence is coming to an end." This is what David Ben-Gurion, one of the main founders of the Zionist regime and a former prime minister of the Zionist regime, had warned decades ago, perhaps 60 years ago. Ben-Gurion said, "The Israeli regime would start to have problems whenever its power of deterrence ended. Today, their power of deterrence has finished, or is near its end. They know and realize this themselves, that their collapse is near. This is due to the blessing of the resistance front. This is due to the blessing of the Palestinian youth, who have been instrumental in weakening the Zionist regime." So what should be the Islamic world's strategy with regards to the issue of Palestine? Today, the Islamic world's strategy regarding Palestine should be to help the forces inside that country. The resistance front's endeavours are, of course, valuable, wherever they are. Just like us, we too are standing up for the Palestinians. The resistance front's endeavours are valuable. These efforts should be focused on strengthening those who are fighting and risking their lives inside of Palestine. The last point I want to make is the following. We need to truly pay attention to this point. What is the reason for the escalation of the internal struggles in Palestine? It is because of the inclination towards Islam. We had seen what their situation was like before. Back when Islamic tendencies weren't popular among Palestinian groups, now some were communists, others were not, but they weren't Islamic. These developments did not exist. From the time that Islamic tendencies were born in the Palestinian resistance fighters, and from the time this tendency increased on a daily basis, progress has been made in the way the Palestinians are fighting the Zionist regime. So the reason for the Palestinian people's success is Islam. Islam and the enemy has realized this. That's why we see them working against Islam around the world. They're engaging in fighting Islam, doing all kinds of things. Of course, their fight against Islam will get nowhere. Do they seek to outmaneuver Allah? But it is the faithless who are the ones who are outmaneuvered. This is what the Holy Quran says. They're making efforts, but the Almighty will nullify their efforts. In closing comments, the leader said, "We hope that our dear nation, our people, and our young people will see the day when Muslims from around the world can freely perform their prayers and supplications in the liberated city of Al-Quds. May God's greetings, mercy, and blessings be upon you."
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Canada and one of the largest industrial actions in the country's history. Some 155,000 public workers are on strike in a dispute with the government over pay. While wages are a primary sticking point, the unions also want remote work included in their collective agreement. Cleaners and cooks, clerks and maintenance workers, tradespeople, Coast Guard search and rescue teams, teachers, firefighters, and workers who process employment insurance, passport applications, and immigration documents have now walked out of their jobs.
And I can tell you that we do not have a tentative agreement. The Public Service Alliance of Canada, 155,000 members, will be on strike as of 12:01 a.m. We will remain at the table. We will remain for as long as it takes during the strike. And we will remain on strike until the government addresses our key issues.
The strike has already disrupted public services in various sectors. Lawyers say the strike has affected everyone from refugee claimants whose hearings are cancelled to sponsored relatives stuck in limbo and from migrant workers to foreign students. The workers' union have failed to reach an agreement with the federal government in an effort to bring the industrial action to an end. On Saturday, the Canadian government negotiators presented the striking public workers with what they called a final offer. The Treasury Board, which oversees public administration, said details are being kept to the negotiating table, but the proposal included an enhanced wage offer and addressed issues including telework, seniority, and contracting. In a statement, the Treasury Board called the offer fair, competitive, and reasonable. The offer, however, has so far failed to bring the strikes to a halt. The workers are escalating their strike action in a bid to block several Canadian ports to pressure the government to get their demands met, including raising wages in line with the cost of living crisis and the soaring inflation. This is while inflation in Canada rose to a peak of more than 8% last June. It is expected to remain above 3% until the fourth quarter of this year. The strikes in Canada come as the country is gripped with an unfathomable economic crisis that includes soaring food insecurity. A chief executive of one of the country's leading food banks, the Daily Bread, said hundreds of thousands of people stream in each month to get food.
We are absolutely in a food crisis in the country and certainly in the city of Toronto. Before the pandemic, we saw about 60,000 clients saying, "I'm food insecure." And that number this past March is 270,000. It has escalated by four times, and in a country as wonderful as Canada is, it just shouldn't be that way.
Hetherington said of the newcomers to the 128 food banks across the Toronto area affiliated with the Daily Bread, many have full-time jobs but still can't make ends meet. Visitors to food banks in other parts of Canada also echo sense of despair and need with long queues to get something to eat at food banks. Hetherington said accommodations, both rentals and homes for sales, are out of reach for many Canadians across the country. This comes at a time when a lengthy period of higher rates could force an increasing share of highly indebted Canadians to reset their mortgages at levels that squeeze their finances. But regardless of all the economic hardships the Canadian people are going through, the government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau spent 1.32% of its GDP on defense in the fiscal year of 2021-2022. Canadian authorities also continue with their pledge to provide Ukraine with military support in its war with Russia. After all, Canada has been one of the most vocal supporters of Ukraine and has provided billions of dollars in financial and military assistance to Kyiv since January 2022. Apart from that, Canada is the sixth largest contributor to NATO's common funded budget by allocating 13.7% of defense spending on major equipment in 2021 and 2022. Canadian authorities claim that the assistance is for Ukraine in what they call its fight for democracy. They, however, know perfectly well that they are using billions of dollars of the Canadian taxpayers' money to inject into a war which does not serve Canada at all and only favors the expansionist policy of the United States. Instead, if this money is allocated to address Canada's internal economic concerns, what else can force more than 150,000 Canadians to walk out of their jobs and call for better pays, which would subsequently disrupt all public services and make public and private sectors dysfunctional? On a first official visit to the Islamic Republic since taking office, Iraqi President Abdel Latif Rashid has visited Tehran to hold talks with Iranian high-ranking authorities. Upon arrival, the Iraqi leader met with President Ebrahim Raisi at the Saadabad complex, where he received an official welcome by the Iranian top executive official. The two sides then held a joint press conference, with boosting bilateral relations between Tehran and Baghdad being the focus of their remarks.
With regards to political, trade and economic issues, as well as the cultural domain, we have so far had good relations in those areas, and both countries are set to further expand their mutual relations.
So it's clear and is a reality that relations between Iran and Iraq are constant and solid and unchangeable.
But enhancing trade relations and economic development was not the only issue discussed between the two presidents. President Raisi and the Iraqi leader also addressed issues concerning regional security.
A security agreement was reached between the two countries, and the slightest insecurity anywhere in Iraq is regarded as insecurity for Iran. So the security of Iraq is very important for us. The security of borders is important to us, and the security arrangements between the two countries can lead not only to the security of both countries, but the security of the whole region.
For his part, the Iraqi leader praised the role of Tehran in providing assistance to the Iraqi people during the rule of former dictator Saddam Hussein and at a time when the Arab country was gripped with foreign-backed terrorism by the Daesh terror group. The presence of foreign forces was also among issues discussed by the two presidents. President Raisi said, "As much as we consider useful the negotiations between the regional countries, we do not consider the presence of foreign forces in the region to be useful, and we regard the presence of Americans as a threat to the security of the region." Raisi said Iran's ties with Iraq and other countries of the region are based on common interests, but Americans only think of their own interests. Later on Saturday, the Iraqi president also met with the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. During the meeting, the leader called on Baghdad to get U.S. troops out of the Arab country, saying even one American soldier on the Iraqi soil is too many. Ayatollah Khamenei said the U.S. is not a friend of Iraq, adding that Washington is not even loyal to its European allies. The visit by the Iraqi leader to Tehran is of very high significance, both concerning Iraq's internal problems and regional and international issues. At a national level, The visit comes at a time when, according to Iran's president, the level of commercial and economic ties between the two countries exceed $10 billion. Not to mention that this figure can upgrade to a much higher level. According to President Raisi, relations between the two countries continue in various fields, including infrastructure, water, electricity, gas, and energy. These are the sectors that Iraq has been suffering the most from during the past couple of decades or so. That especially comes to the spotlight at a time when Iraq is trying to rebuild itself following its 23 U.S. invasion and the eradication of Daesh terrorists from the Arab country. The boosting of economic relations between Tehran and Baghdad not only will bring these two nations closer to each other, it would also help Iraq stand on its own feet after the U.S.-led war and occupation. This will also preserve the sovereignty of Iraq, given that the country has managed to be among those who have exempted themselves from the U.S. sanction measures on the Islamic Republic by continuing its trade with Tehran. After all, Iran plays a great role in developing the Iraqi infrastructure, and the presence of the Iraqi high-level delegation in Tehran can be an indication of that. In a broader perspective, Iraq has been hosting five rounds of negotiations between Iran and Saudi Arabia, and along with China, has facilitated the recent rapprochement between Tehran and Riyadh. That is something that would undeniably contribute to security and stability in the region. At an international level, it's not hidden to anyone that the West, namely the United States and its allies, have for decades been sowing discord and division among nations in the West Asia region to fulfill their own political and economic interests. Maybe that's exactly why these West Asian nations have come to an understanding that they should form a coalition and stand in the face of the West and its agenda, which merely aims to divide and conquer.
Iran's English-language news channel, Press TV, has been targeted again. The two organizations, the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, and the Center for Countering Digital Hate, or CCDH. Their accusation, in their words, Iranian state TV using social media to evade broadcast bans and spread anti-Semitic hate campaigns. That's according to their website. This is a new report that it compiled as proof that Iran's Press TV is guilty of spreading anti-Semitic hate campaigns. And this is the report. It begins with the accusation, which includes this icon, State Hate, how Iran's Press TV uses social media to promote anti-Jewish hatred. It elaborates on this and says that Press TV is a platform used to promote the Iranian state's hateful views of Jewish people, amongst other accusations. So is Press TV guilty of that? Well, for starters, if reporting on the deaths and violations of Palestinians is a crime, yes, it is. Press TV doesn't need to work that hard to cover Israeli atrocities. The Israeli regime does a good job of that, beating Palestinians, killing them, and evicting them from their homes, almost on a daily basis. Furthermore, the current fascist ministers openly threaten Palestinians, like Itamar Ben-Gvir, who has called for the execution of Palestinians who act against Israel, or the Israeli finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, who has called for Palestinians to be wiped out. These are genocidal calls, but the Israeli media or organizations like the ADL do not cover this. However, looking deeper into this, it becomes clear that the driving force behind this attack on Press TV are these two men, Chris Williamson and David Miller. But who are they, and why are they being targeted? ADL's attack on Press TV became clear on why it had accused it of anti-Semitism. It had targeted Chris Williamson and David Miller because of their role in the program Palestine Declassified, as stated here. In terms of the program itself, it sheds light on Israeli atrocities against Palestinians.
But academic studies have found a long-standing pro-Israel bias within the UK's broadcast media.
They're trying to do some propaganda here to bully the BBC, which has been very, very effective.
It's because they are never properly challenged.
As if that is not alarming for the Israeli regime, The host and producer both have a rich bio when it comes to their views on Palestinians. Christopher Williamson is a British politician who was a member of Parliament for Derby North from 2010 to 2015 and again from 2017 to 2019. He's been associated with many British politicians like Jeremy Corbyn. And because of this, he has also been targeted for his role as a British MP, where he was stripped of his parliamentary pass.
Yeah, well, the first I heard about it was when I was contacted by a British newspaper called The Daily Mail. It's an absurd proposition. I mean, because people may have objections to the Iranian government.
For ADL, having a former British MP hosting a TV program for Iran's Press TV exposing Israeli atrocities is just too much to bear. Then comes David Miller, former professor at Bristol University, producer and co-host of Press TV's Palestine Declassified. He was fired from the university since he said Israel is a violent, racist, foreign regime engaged in ethnic cleansing.
Because there's a huge amount of documentation going along with the case, and that's where we will find whether the university has wrongfully dismissed me, and also whether the court will determine that I was discriminated against on grounds of my political beliefs, which is the claim that we're making.
Press TV is proud to defend the rights of Palestinians and oppressed people anywhere in the world. It has done so through its inception 17 years ago, and the station has been successful in reaching the voice of the oppressed people of Palestine to the world. Even ADL admits the incredible reach of Press TV, that although it was banned from TV and YouTube, it continues to reach up to 11.5 million followers. While Press TV enjoys this high exposure, ADL's post on Twitter had a measly 26,400 views with only 78 likes. So at the end, we ask, who is winning the social media war?
Could the turmoil in Israel prove to be terminal for the Zionist entity?
For weeks, there have been a lot of talk about Ukraine's much-discussed counter-offensive against Russia. U.S. sources say Ukraine is preparing to launch a counter-offensive against Russian forces as early as next month. But it appears that Ukraine's planned military assault, originally announced for November 2022, has been postponed indefinitely. The administration of US President Joe Biden is quietly preparing for the possibility that Ukraine's spring counteroffensive would fall short of expectations. The counteroffensive will attempt to retake territory, most likely in the east and south. Publicly, President Joe Biden's team has offered unwavering support for Ukraine. Pentagon documents allegedly leaked by Airman Jack Teixeira revealed that the U.S. doesn't believe Ukraine can regain any significant territory in its counteroffensive. More current assessments also don't expect much Ukrainian success. The Biden administration officials have reportedly said they don't think Kiev has the ability to sever Russia's land bridge to Crimea in the Kherson and Zaporizhia oblasts. U.S. intelligence says that Ukraine simply does not have the ability to push Russian troops from where they were deeply entrenched. Now, the administration is expected to face criticism from hawks who believe Biden hasn't given Ukraine enough weapons, as well as those who have been calling for the U.S. to push for diplomacy. Without a decisive victory, Western support for Ukraine could weaken and Kiev could come under increasing pressure to enter serious negotiations to end or freeze the conflict.
While every hour on the battlefield counts, the delay in supplying long-range missiles to Ukraine is already significant. This does not allow us to roll back the positions of Russian terrorists, in particular from Kherson, Zaporizhia, and our other cities, which are constantly shelled by Russian long-range missiles.
American and NATO allies have supplied Ukraine with extensive artillery and ammunition for the upcoming battle. But Ukraine has no guarantees of success with a counteroffensive against Russia, despite receiving Western weapons, training and intelligence support.
Yes, still there is some disagreement, but I'm sure everybody will understand that we are in a situation of extreme urgency. I'm sure that in the following days we will reach. But while we look for this legal agreement, don't believe that we are just sitting and waiting. The whole work is going on. The whole work is going on. So once the legal agreement will be reached, the work, the practical work, will be finished.
According to reports, a large portion of the combat-ready, equipped and motivated cadre units of the Ukrainian forces have already been destroyed. U.S. military officials have said Western countries had managed to prepare 9 armored brigades, but experts have questioned this figure since over 830 tanks would be needed for that size of a deployment. Some experts say no more than 3 or 4 Ukrainian brigades could realistically be trained and armed by NATO and the U.S.
I said in Kyiv yesterday that Ukraine's future is in the Euro-Atlantic family, and all NATO allies have agreed that Ukraine will become a NATO member. But the main focus now is, of course, on how to ensure that Ukraine prevails.
Ukrainian officials have said their goal is to break through dug-in Russian defenses and create a widespread collapse in Russia's army. But American officials have assessed that it's unlikely the offensive will result in a dramatic shift in momentum in Ukraine's favor. Since the war began last year, the United States has discouraged peace talks and recently came out against the idea of a ceasefire in Ukraine. But now there is a discussion amongst administration officials about convincing Ukraine to accept more modest goals and agree to a temporary ceasefire. A top-secret assessment from early February stated that Ukraine would fall well short of its counteroffensive goals. More current American assessments are that Ukraine may make some progress in the south and east, but won't be able to repeat last year's success. Kyiv has ruled out negotiations with Moscow until it recaptures all the territories. But even with all Western help, big gains are not guaranteed or even necessarily likely.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفران يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So here we are with Brother Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah. Assalamu alaikum, brothers, and welcome. And how are you, Hassan?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Ali Nasir.
Alhamdulillah, sir.
That's good. Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Thank you so much. Welcome. I really welcome you all. So in this session, inshallah, we'll talk about Ayah 87 and 88, the two verses in Surah Ali Imran on page 61, right? So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أولئك جزاؤهم أن عليهم لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين and خالدين فيها لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون. So let's listen once, everyone.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أولئك جزاؤهم أن عليهم لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين خالدين فيها لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون.
Great recitation, alhamdulillah. I really loved it. So Hassan, can you read it once? Ayah 87.
Yes, sir.
أعوذ بالله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أولئك جزاؤهم أن عليهم لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين.
أحسنتم. Thank you. Hussein, can you read the next ayah?
Yes, sir. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم خالدين فيها لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون.
أحسنتم. Mashallah. Now we will explain these two verses, then inshallah we'll move on to the Tajweed rules. أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ أَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Their requital, okay, is their punishment. The punishment of those who what? Those who wrong themselves, okay? كَيْفَ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا كَفَرُوا بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِمْ مُرْتَدِّينَ, okay? Those who commit irtidad. Okay, apostasy, like they believe once and then they again turn away and then they disbelieve to their faith. So, what is their punishment? Their punishment is that there shall be upon them the curse of Allah, the angels, and all mankind. لعنت الله ولعنت الملائكة ولعنت الناس أجمعين. They will remain خالدين فيها. They will remain in it, in that curse, in that عذاب, forever. لا يخفف عنهم العذاب. And their punishment shall not be lightened, shall not be decreased. ولا هم ينظرون. Nor will they be granted any respite. Okay? They will not be, like, paid attention to them. Nobody will pay attention to them, okay? ولا هم ينظرون. Guys, these two verses talk about the punishment of those who commit irtidad, okay? They believe once and then they turn away and they disbelieve. They committing irtidad, all right? So about the rules and the ahkam of irtidad, I told you in the previous verses that inshallah you can refer to the Islamic rulings, okay? That so someone who commits irtidad, okay? We have two types of irtidad, irtidad fitri and milli in ahkamic rulings, okay? And then inshallah, you refer to the tafasir books as well as the ahkamic rulings, inshallah, okay? In the discussion about irtidad, okay? So, Ali Nasir, Hassan and Hussein, let's move on to the important tajweed rules that we'll mention, inshallah, and our brothers and sisters will for sure listen, inshallah, and take notes.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Savior International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري
Let's recite the Quran.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أولئك جزاؤهم أن عليهم لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين. Our brother Hassan recited this ayah. Now let's mention the important tajweed rules. Then Hassan will recite them with tajweed rules. Okay?
Yes.
أولئك. The mad is wajib, right?
Yes.
Since the alif, ula, a, and the hamza, ika, are in the same word, in the word ula-ika, ula-i, ula-i. Ka is like the letter for takhatub, for khitab, for talking. Ula-ika, O Prophet, they are. Look, ka means O Prophet, you. Ula-i means those. O Prophet, those are. Okay, talking to the Prophet, pointing to them. Ula-i-ka, O Prophet, I'm talking to you. They are about they. Okay, about them, okay? They are, ulaika jaza'uhum, they are those who their punishment is. Okay, like this. Ulaika. So, mad is wajib for how many counts?
Six.
Six counts. Six counts, okay. Ulaika. Right? Six counts. Jaza'uhum. So, Hussein, is the mad in the word jaza'uhum, is it wajib as well? Mandatory?
I think it's not wajib.
It's not. Jaza'u. Jaza'a.
Yes, jaza' is another word.
Jaza'a. Ends with hamza.
Yes, but yeah.
It's mandatory. It's wajib, right? Wajib muttasil. So it says, well, wajib muttasil. Jaza'a. Hamza is in the word jaza'a. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ula'ika jaza'uhum. So we should stretch the sounds, okay? Both are wajib. Anna, nun mushaddad, Hassan. You should produce a nasal?
Nasal sound.
Nasal sound. Anna, ghunna sound. Alayhim, la'natallahi. Do not read it, la'natullah, okay? Anna, when the word, when the noun comes after anna, okay? We have an ismu anna, okay? Is mansub, it's called. You should read it with fatha la'nata, not na'natu. La'natallahi. And also the word Allah, the letter in the word Allah, the letter lam, is pronounced with a light sound or heavy sound?
Heavy.
Heavy, because
there is fatha.
A fatha before. La'nata. Okay, if you join it to the word Allah, Allah is pronounced with an a sound. Allah. La'natallahi. وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ Malaika, we've mentioned a lot. It's wajib, the mad, yes? Stretch it. وَالنَّاسِ Hamzatul Wasl is escaped. Noon Mushaddad, nasal sound as Hussein, as Hassan said. أَجْمَعِينَ Jim Sakin. Hussein, what is the rule for Jim Sakin?
قَلْقَلَ
قَلْقَلَ. You should produce an echoing sound, a bouncing sound. Let it jump.
Yes.
Ajma'in. And stretch the sound at the end. Okay? Let me read it once and repeat after me. Ula'ika jaza'uhum anna 'alayhim la'natallahi wal mala'ikati wan nasi ajma'in.
أولئك جزاؤهم أن عليهم لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين.
أحسن. لعنة الله. أوكي. تا. طانو. لعنة الله. So ta is not a heavy word. Yes. Heavy letter.
Yeah.
So next ayah. خالدين فيها. خا. An A sound. Make sure it is a heavy letter. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا Ha is a light word, a light letter. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يُخَفَّفُ Make sure the تَشْرِيدَ عَنْ فَا لَا يُخَفَّفُ And Kha is a heavy letter as well. عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابُ عَنْهُمْ Nun Sakin plus Ha, the rule says it is Anhum. Nun says
plus Ha.
Plus Ha. It says what?
Izhar.
Izhar, nothing. Don't do anything with the Nun, okay? Just read it. Anhum, pronounce the Nun. Anhumul Adhab. Pay attention to the pronunciations of the letters. Ain and Ha. Ha. Wala hum yunzarun. Yunzarun. Hassan, tell us what comes after Nun Sakin? Yunzarun.
What comes after Nun Sakin?
Yeah. Yunzarun. Dha. Yes?
Yes.
So dha is from the rest of the letters. You should pronounce it with hiding sound. The Nun. The Nun. Yes? The sound of Nun will be hidden. Wala hum yunzarun. Right? Yes. Let me read it. Repeat after me. خالدين فيها لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون
خالدين فيها لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون
أحسنتم. This is the way we recited with Tajweed rules. صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. Okay, that's from us for today, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for being with IRB English Radio up to this point. Allah bless you, inshallah wa ta'ala. So we'll be here again with you in the coming sessions tomorrow, the same day. Stay with IRB English Radio with next coming Quranic sessions. So, Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir, a bunch of thanks to you for being with us today. Any questions, anything to say?
No.
Allah bless you, inshallah. Include us in your du'as, and may Allah hasten the reappearance of Imam Al-Mahdi, inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Palestine population density rate.
Part 1.
Before 1948, population of the Palestinians was estimated at 1.5 million. After 65 years since Al-Nakba, the Palestinian 1948 catastrophe, the estimation raised to about 10 million inside Palestine and in the Palestinian diaspora countries, 1.5 million in the Palestinian territories occupied in 1948, 5 million in the diaspora, 2.5 million in the West Bank, and 1,700,000 in the Gaza Strip. According to some data, the population density in Palestine in general, and in the Gaza Strip in particular, is high. For instance, 481 people live in each square kilometer in the West Bank and 4,661 per square kilometer in the Gaza Strip.
قطاع غزة هو قطاع صغير مساحة صغيرة عدد سكان كبير.
The Gaza Strip is a small area with a large number of people. The Strip is unable to absorb its population. This is actually a big problem. According to a report by the United Nations, the rate of birth in 2012 increased to 14,000 in just a quarter of a year. Imagine how it will be in a whole year. The birth rate here is very high.
نحن شعب نحب الخلفة وهو شعب ودود ولود يعني كل واحد بتلاقيه عنده عشرة.
The people here love childbearing. They are kind and reproductive. Most of them have 13 or 15 children or even more. You can hardly find old parents who have only two or three children. For this reason, this hospital has a higher birth rate than those in neighboring countries.
Population density rate in the refugee camps, where refugees live in hard conditions in the same houses of their descendants were transferred to after the Nakba of 1948, is the highest.
They thought they were being transferred from their homes for a couple of weeks and would return later on, but that was not true. They waited for months and years. Bachelors got married, and those who were married had more children. For example, if I have four children, and someone else has five, and another one has six, the total of the children is 15. Suppose five or three children of the total passed away. The remaining will be 10 children. Do you understand?
What did people with many children do? We will be like China.
They hope to return to their original areas someday. The old tell the story of transfer to the young, and parents tell it to their children to keep the catastrophe remembered.
I am Aida Osama Ibrahim Dawas. My original village is Herbia. We have a land by the coast. I wish I can return to my land in Herbia to play and build a big house instead of this small one.
My grandfather, may Allah bless him, kept the Tabo land property papers. They have been maintained until the moment. Most of our lands are in Hamama. I will never give up my land in Hamama. That is impossible. Who could give up his own land? I live in a house with two married sons. One of them has eight children and the other has five. I myself have nine children. All of us live in only one house. Gaza Beach refugee camp is the third most overpopulated area. The first one is Rafah refugee camp and the second is Jabalia refugee camp. These three camps are the most overpopulated refugee camps. I was born and grew up in Jabalia camp. House roofs were made of roof tile. Streets were much wider, and the people were less than they are now. They were 30,000, now they are 120,000. The size of these buildings you're looking at is the result of expanding the houses at the expense of street size. People lacked enough space to live in, so they widened their families' houses. This is why streets became narrower and the population density higher. People cannot live in the edges of the camp since the Israeli occupation lies there in ambush. Look how narrow this street is. Look where they moved the electrical column to expand their house. They wanted to house their children. Look at the street. It is not wide enough for two people to pass through together in parallel. Look how narrow this street is. If If I have to pass through it, I should turn like this. Its width is 60 centimeters. Actually, it is no longer a street. All the streets here became like this one. The further you go, the more narrow it seems. The area of this house is 40 to 50 square meters. It is occupied by 7 persons in a 3-meter by 3-meter room. The place is as you see. The kitchen and bathroom are small. 7 individuals sleep in this room. It looks like a prison cell by the Israeli occupation. Even the Israeli cell where I was imprisoned was bigger.
The Palestinian reality is full of pains and memories of tyranny and oppression. Osama Dawas was forced to live in a refugee camp. Living in the camp did not last long. Osama was arrested by the Israeli occupation army and sentenced to more than 10 years. In the sentence, he was imposed to investigation, solitary confinement, and torture.
اعتقلت 10 سنوات بتهمة مقاومة الاحتلال قعدت في فترة التعذيب 3 شهور ونص.
In 1985 I was imprisoned for 10 years. I was sentenced for resisting the Israeli occupation. In the torture period, which was about 3 months, the Israeli intelligence apparatus focused on prisoners' reproductive organs. The beating was directed to the organs area. The Israelis sought to cause infertility. Then when I was released and got married, I did not think that I would be able to reproduce. Fortunately, I got my eldest daughter, twins, a baby, and then another one. Thanks Allah, who gives us health and protected us against the cruelty of the jailer and the Israeli intelligence apparatus. Despite all the Israelis' actions against us, Allah frustrated their efforts and gave me my children. If I had more space in my house, I would have more children. This is my house. It has been built since I was born. Its construction is weak. Some parts of the walls have fallen. We clean our clothes and hang them out of the house. Pieces of the concrete fall, and the iron of the concrete can be seen. If somebody shuts the door, some pieces of the wall may fall. This is the castle where I live. Its asbestos roof is broken. It becomes worse in the winter. Water flows inside the house as if it was a street. But the street is much better. In the street, you can decide where to hide yourself from the rain. But here inside, you cannot even know from where the rain may come.
We're all 7 people, 3 boys and 2 daughters also. A daughter-in-law and my son and his pregnant wife, that's 9 people. We all live in a house of 65 square meters.
If 2 or 3 guests visited me, there wouldn't be space for them. Suppose 4 or 5 guests visited me, what would I do? In Eid, I put some chairs in front of the house for the guests, pretending power was off, it was warmer inside, and sitting in the street was much more comfortable.
We are with you. What about you? Meaningful Moments with IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.